First of all, there is an islah and correction. The hadith of the Holy Prophet is like this, that you all should, please pay attention. Al-faqr rahatun, wal-ghina uqubatun, wal-zulm nadamatun, wal-ma'siyatu musibatun, wal-rahk halakul badan. Somebody was asking me, so that's the reason I mentioned the whole hadith. There's a request for dua of sihhat. One of the mu'mineen is ill and they requested for dua, so let's read the ayatul kareema 5 times for their shifa. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه يكشف السوء 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 اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المؤمنين والمؤمنات خاصة من هذا المريض المنظور بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الدنيا حرام على أهل الآخرة والآخرة حرام على أهل الدنيا وهما حرامان على أهل الله صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
The Holy Prophet has said that dunya is haram for those who belong to akhirat and akhirat is haram for those who belong to this dunya and dunya and akhirat both are haram for those who belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this arrangement from Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not agree for this dunya to be a reward for those people who obey Him, and likewise we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the fact that He did not agree for this dunya to be a punishment place for those who disobey Him. None of those two was appropriate. This dunya is neither sufficient to be accepted as a reward for Allah's obedience, because it's too little. Nor this dunya is sufficient to be accepted as a punishment place, because the punishments of this dunya are also too little. And that's the reason why in Ilmul Kalam, the knowledge of Islamic belief system, we consider the Yawmul Akhirah. I already mentioned in one of my previous speeches that the Day of Judgment in Islam has more than 100 names, and one of those more than 100 names is Darul Jaza. So that's the reason why in Islam we call the Day of Judgment to be the day of rewards or punishments, because that is the only possible place where the rewards or punishments can be awarded. It's not possible, theoretically or practically, that the reward of a person's obedience or the rewards of his disobediences, the punishments for his disobediences, can be given in this world. A person kills two human beings, you can only kill him once in this dunya, in this lifetime. You're not able to kill the person twice. So they are natural restrictions by virtue of the nature of this segment of life, which is a very, very small segment of life created by Allah, because we believe in several awalim, several worlds before the life of this dunya, and several worlds alongside with the life in this dunya, and several worlds after the life of this dunya. Whereas the people who are worshipping this dunya are so silly, because they considered this dunya to be the end of life. Because this dunya is neither the end of life nor the beginning of life. The end of life is something which there is no end, because it's infinity and eternity. And the hellfire which we believe in is the place of eternity, and the Jannat and paradise in which we believe in Islam is the paradise of eternity. Jannatul Khuld, that's how we call it. Anybody who enters would never come out, ever. And this dunya is just a place of a very temporary abode. Lesna, like Imam Ali has written his letter to Muawiyah, that أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ قَدْ خَلَقَ الدُّنْيَا لِمَا بَعْدَهَا. Allah subhanahu has created this dunya for the stage which is after this dunya. وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا أَهْلَهَا لَيُبْتَلَى بِهَا. And Allah created the people in this world, those who belong to this dunya are created in this dunya, لِيُبْتَلَى بِهَا, so that they would be tested through this dunya. فَقَدْ اِبْتَلَانَ اللَّهُ بِكَ وَابْتَلَاكَ بِي فَجَعَلَ أَحَدَنَا حُجَّةً عَلَى الْآخَرِ. So Allah tested you through me, and Allah tested me through you. And Allah made each of us a hujjat, an evidence against each other. So dunya is a custom created place with a well-defined reason and wisdom in place, and it is a targeted action among all the rest of the targeted actions performed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the job of the believers in this dunya is to focus on their fariḍah and duty towards Allah. That's it. And leave the result and natija in the divine hands. Whether we want to leave or we don't like to leave, whether we opt to leave the natija and result in Allah's hands or we don't like to leave the result in His hands, the result is in His hands. So it's not in our control and it's not left to our likeness or dislikeness, our acceptance or unacceptance of the fact that we want to leave the result of our actions in His control. Or we don't want to leave the result of our actions into His control. That's the way it is. It's a reality. That's the way it goes. So the results are never in the control of the people and will never be in the control of the people. So don't waste your time. Don't focus on the result of your actions. You know? And so we find the results of the actions are already in the control of Allah. And Allah will help you reach those results and natija and actions, natija of the actions and results of the actions, if you have tawakkul on Allah and reliance and faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a big difference, brothers and sisters, in Arabic, and when we say tawakkul or we say tawakkul. Tawakkul means that the reliance in Allah and the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala providing with his lutf and rahmat, providing us with the result and fruit of our actions if we rely upon Him after doing our duty towards Allah. That's the concept of tawakkul. Tawakkul is always after doing our duty towards Allah. Whereas tawakkul means without doing your duty towards Allah, you just leave it to be on some other person. You just ignore your side of the duty and let some other person to handle the job instead of you doing your duty. This is un-Islamic. This kind of behavior has no room in Islam. And stop expecting any result for this kind of action. Whether you apply it in any material sense, you want to make money, you want to earn money, and you stay home and you expect Allah providing you the risk inside your house without doing your side of the efforts which He has Himself commanded us to do and made our efforts as jihad. Al-kaddu li'ayalihi kal-mujahid fi sabilillah. Someone who works hard to make money from haram, from the halal sources and avoid the haram in his life for the sake of raising his family and children, this person is like a mujahid person fi sabilillah, who is doing jihad and effort on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said that Allah gives me more risk. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said that I'm not going to pray for you. Imam had the ilm al-ghayb. He knew exactly what the person means and what does he intend. So, because Imam said, what you mean, in other words, is that you stay home and you do nothing, you do no efforts, and Allah provides you the risk, you know, right here without doing any effort. Because this falls in the category, let's remember, you know, that we learn in the light of another hadith from Ahlul Bayt that six categories of people, their dua is not accepted by Allah. And one of those six is the one who doesn't perform his side of the obligation and just stays home and, you know, stays idle and prays to Allah that Allah gives him the risk. It's not going to happen. So whether you apply this phenomena in the material affairs of our life or you apply the phenomena about the ma'navi and metaphysical affairs and duties that we have on our neck, for both the things it applies. So what I was saying, brothers and sisters, is that the duty of ours as a mu'min is to focus on our fariza, define our fariza and focus on our fariza and leave the natija on Allah. Whether we live or we die, whether we are able to see the fruit of our actions in our lifetime, or we fail to see the result of our actions in our own lifetime, instead our later generations see the fruit of our actions and our efforts. Anything is possible. But in all the cases, we will be considered as successful if we have performed our duty towards Allah.
That's what Imam al-Khomeini, radiallahu alayhi, constantly he used to say that, you know, ma mukallaf bi wazifain, that's the teaching.
You know, we are obliged from Allah's behalf to focus on our duty, not to think about the result. You know, Imam Hussain alayhi salam is successful. Despite the fact that Yazid remained in power for 2 more years, isn't that right? And the family of Imam Hussain alayhi salam were captured by Yazid and made captives, but still Imam Hussain is successful. Why is he successful? Yazid still remained in power for 2 more years. Because of the fact that the natija, the zahiri natija, the apparent result which some people may be expecting, was not achieved in the lifetime, in the sense that Yazid remained in power. If that's the natija that some people were expecting to happen straight away, that's not what Imam Hussain was expecting. But if some people were expecting this to be the natija, it didn't happen. Yazid remained in power for the next 2 years. But the point is that this is never considered to be the criteria in Islam. The criteria in Islam is whether you have performed your fariza and duty or not. If you have performed your fariza and duty towards Allah, then you are successful whether you live or you die, whether you achieve your natija in your lifetime or you achieve your natija later on. But since you perform your fariza, you are successful. That's the seerat of the Anbiya. When Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam left Hazrat Hajar and his son Ismail alayhi salam in Makkah, we find that when Hazrat Ibrahim brought his wife Hazrat Hajar with his young baby Ismail on Makkah, there was no house constructed at that time. The Kaaba was not constructed. There was no house available around. There was no population in Makkah. Makkah was a deserted, it was a deserted place. It was an uninhabited place. It was a desert with nobody there. And when he was about to leave, Hazrat Hajar asked him that, upon whose command have you brought us here? Why are you leaving us here? Upon whose command have you brought us here? And he said, I brought you upon the command of Allah. She said, fine, that's okay. In other words, just leave, because Allah is never going to lose us. He's always going to take care of us. You need to have tawakkul. Islam is trying to... It's true that all the things in this world are performed with sabab and musabbab, illat and ma'lul, cause and effect theory. أَوَاللَّهُ أَنْ يُجْرِيَ الْأُمُورِ إِلَّا بِأَسْبَابِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not perform, does not execute the affairs in this world except through its causes. In order to achieve a result, you have to have the causes for that. Everything in this universe is performed and executed according to the cause and effect theory. Because that's how Allah Himself created the universe like this. But He is the Khaliqul Asbab and the Musabbibul Asbab. He is the creator of all the causes, and He is the one who arranges all the causes to bear the fruit and provide the desired result. That's, you know, we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be Illatul Ilal, the cause of all the causes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Illatul Ilal. It's true that all the things are done like this upon the cause and effect theory, but Islam is trying to make us understand that despite the fact we should not deny the causes and go after the causes and try to achieve the results through the causes, try to do our side of the efforts and duties by performing those causes so that the results of those causes are achieved. But still we should not rely on the causes. There's a huge difference, brothers and sisters, between these two points.
And again, my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi, hafizahullah, was saying that Quran baraye rafze
برای رفع اسباب آمد نه برای نفی علل. Such a beautiful statement. The entire Holy Quran, he said, was revealed on the Holy Prophet for the sake of the fact that the human beings learn this basic rule that they need to reject relying on the causes, not for the sake that we denounce and deny the existence of the causes in themselves.
If somebody denies the existence of the causes and cause and effect theory, he is an ignorant and jahil person.
He doesn't understand Islam. He doesn't understand the entire philosophy of Allah's creation, because Allah created the whole universe upon this formula that everything has to be done according to cause and effect theory. That's how Allah Himself created it. So if somebody denies the cause and effect theory, he's a jahil. He could not understand Islam and the purpose of the creation. But having understood that things are run with the cause and effect theory, we are supposed to, as believers, we are supposed to not to rely upon those causes in any matter of our life, despite the fact that we have to go after the causes, but still we are not supposed to rely on the causes.
We are supposed to rely on Allah. That's the whole purpose. What happens, brothers and sisters, that in the process of going after the causes to achieve the results, we start relying on the causes. And that's where the problem starts. This is the difference between Ahlul Ma'rifah, those people who have the ma'rifat and recognition of Allah and their behavior and policies in life, and those people who are Ahlul Zulm wal Jahl, those who do not have the ma'rifat and they are in the zulmat and darkness. That's the way they will do. So the duty of a mu'min is always never to rely on the call. Hatim al-Asam. Hatim al-Asam was about to leave his house and he came to see his wife. He was going for some travel. And he said, well, I'm going to leave for a while. I'm traveling. So how much money, how much nafaqah shall I leave behind for you? His wife was a person with ma'rifat. See, she said, well, leave as much nafaqa as my equal to the amount, the magnitude of my umr, my life. Then how can I know how much life is remaining for you? He said, then, وَكِّلْهُ إِلَىٰ مَنْ يَعْلَمْ. If you don't know how much life is remaining for me, then leave this matter upon the person, upon the one who knows it. That means leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Allah's job. It's Allah knows how much is the life remaining. A person came to one of the Urafa and he said, well, I have lots of children and a big family and well, it's a big burden on me. So he said, okay, then you can take out all those people whose risk is not on Allah, throw them out of your house. Throw all those people out of your house whose risk is not on Allah. Do you think the risk of the people is on you? Are you the one who are running the shots, calling the shots? Are you the one who are running the whole universe? Try to understand the Islamic, the sunnats of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some formulas. As-sunanul ilahiyyah. If you want to lead a successful life, you have no other option except to study and understand the divine, unchangeable formulas, as-sunan al-ilahiyya, which Allah has already mentioned in the Holy Quran. وَلَن تَجَدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. And you would never find a change for the sunnah of Allah. Allah is never going to change the same formulas that He Himself has made, and He is running the universe according to those formulas. You want to be successful, you need to adapt yourselves according to the divine unchangeable principles in order to succeed. If you fail to understand, you would be the loser. Allah is never going to bend in front of the ignorance of the ignorance. His principles would never change.
So if we want to lead a successful life, we must understand what are the sunnats of Allah mentioned in the Holy Quran.
Actually, Imam Baqir al-Sadr rahmatullah alayh has a very nice book written on that subject, the Sunan al-Ilahiyya fi al-Tarikh. If those of you, some of you want to study more on that subject, you can study this book, which is one of the most beautiful books available. So basically what I was saying to you is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already informed us, and the risk, مَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا أَوَ اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is every walking thing, its risk is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember the story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was inside the prison and when his jailmate was about to leave, and Hazrat Yusuf said to him, like the Holy Quran talks about the story, that Hazrat Yusuf said to his fellow jailmate, who was freed by the Aziz of Misr, by the King of Misr, that uzkurni inda rabbika. That means, remember me when you, in other words, when you go to see the king, when you are freed and you go and see the king, remember me. Again, this was a tarkul awla. It was not a haram, because the prophets don't do harams, but it's a tarkul awla, something which was better to be avoided, but he did not avoid. Turning to someone other than Allah. Allah disliked. Because Hasanatul Abrar, Sayyiatul Muqarrabeen. That's the law of Ilmul Irfan. So even the good deeds of regular Abrar, regular good people, if those regular good deeds are performed by Muqarrabeen, the close personalities of Allah, if they just do the regular good deeds, not the high level of good deeds, the regular good deeds are considered as sins. If the Muqarrabeen and close personalities only perform the regular good deeds, they are supposed to do much more than that. So Hazrat Yusuf's statement was disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah sent Jibreel then and there inside the prison, and Jibreel struck his wing on the ground, and all the seven layers of earth were ripped apart, ripped open, and there was a stone at the bottom of earth visible, deep down there. And Jibreel struck his wing again on that stone, and the stone was opened up, and there was a small tiny insect inside the stone, in the deep innermost crust of the earth. Now that the stone got opened, Jibreel asked Hazrat Yusuf, Man razikuha? Who is the razik of this insect?
Subhanallah.
Let's remember that we are talking about an insect whose habitat is inside a stone, which lives inside a stone, and the stone is found in the deep innermost crust of the earth. We don't even know nothing about that area, that zone. And we have no access to that zone whatsoever. How much a human being shows his arrogance in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in front of the Creator. You know, we know a little bit and we tend to be so arrogant and snobbish in our behavior, as if we are the one who are running all the affairs. So we find when Jibreel asked us that Yusuf, that man razikuha, who is the razik, who is the sustainer of this insect? And he said, Allah. He said, do you think that Allah has forgotten you? That you are asking your fellow jail inmate to remember you in front of the king? And because of this, you now need to stay for several years inside the jail.
Because the muqarrabeen, the muqarrab personalities of Allah, are so close and so beloved in the eyes of Allah, that Allah doesn't like for them to do anything that He dislikes. For the regular good doers, lots of things that can be tolerated, but not from the muqarrabeen, because their levels are higher and their rewards are also higher. And the similar stories has been narrated about Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, that Hazrat Musa was commanded by, once he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go to the river Nile, and when he went there, Allah asked Hazrat Musa to strike his asa and stick on the river, and he did. And the river was opened up, and there was a stone coming, surfacing up. And then Allah commanded him to strike his asa and stick again over that stone, and there was a second stone coming out from that one stone. And from that second stone, there was an insect inside that second stone, which was blind, and which has a small, tiny leaf in its mouth, busy in eating that leaf, inside two stones at the river bed. An insect residing inside two stones in the river bed. And then the narration informs us that the zikr, every animal has a zikr, a phrase of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which every animal is reciting, and Quran has already made clear, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. Every single thing is doing the tasbih of Allah, but you guys don't understand their tasbih. What do we understand? We just understand a fraction of the things, because we cannot have access to the fraction of the things only. So we find that that tiny insect, which was chewing a small leaf in its mouth, and it was a blind insect inside two stones, residing inside the two stones in the river bed. The phrase of remembrance of Allah and the zikr of Allah with the insect was saying constantly, repeating constantly, was that, oh my Lord, who never forgets the risk of mine, me, a blind insect inside the stone, when you don't forget my risk and sustenance, how would you forget the risk of the humankind? That was the zikr of this tiny blind insect inside the two stones. But look at the behavior of the human beings when it comes to our risk. How much we are worried about our risk. مَنْ اِهْتَمَّ بِرِسْكِ غَدٍ لَنْ يُفْلِحْ أَبَدًا. Anybody who is sorrowful about tomorrow's risk is never going to succeed. A mu'min who is never sorrowful about tomorrow's risk, that's the shan of a mu'min. And we are never sorrowful over tomorrow's risk. The more you rely on Allah after doing your duty, the more you get the result. And the more you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you will be exhausted in running after this dunya and relying on the asbab and ilm and causes and never reaching the result. Because this is not the route that leads towards the results. So we find one of the Urafa was traveling to Hajj. On his way, this person says that I met this great Arif, and he had nothing with him. Just, you know, without any markab. In old days they used to have horses or camels, and some of the people, when they were traveling for long distances, they used to actually take two horses with them, or a couple of camels, because sometimes you never know, one horse is tired or something, or at least you can change the animal. So this person is just traveling alone, there's nobody with him, he had no luggage with him, and he said, well, I don't find any luggage with you, as if you have nothing to carry with you in such a long trip.
He said, well, I have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always taking care of my needs. He said, okay, if that's the case, then can you provide me one drink of water right now? He said, yeah. He extended his hand like this and he grabbed a glass of water and he gave it to him. He said, why, how come you have this kind of excess towards the divine help? And this scholar replied, because أَذْكُرُهُ فِي الْخَلَوَاتِ يَذْكُرُنِي فِي الْفَلَوَاتِ. When I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my loneliness, in khalwat, Allah also remembers me when I am in the deserts. So, brothers and sisters, the important point to remember is zikr and remembrance of Allah in the loneliness. It's very easy for a person to behave well and to behave like a pious and obedient person in front of the community. But it's hard for a person to behave well in our loneliness. And what is the definition of al-adalatul haqiqiyya, the real meaning of adalat, the real level of adalat, is not that you apparently and zahiran, you perform the wajibat and you abstain from the muharramat. The real definition of adalat is that when you are alone, you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the similar way that you fear when you are in front of the community and in front of the people. That means your batin, and yakun al-batinu ka-zahir, wa ahsan min al-zahir. And when the batin of a person is better than his zahir or similar to his zahir. This is the real definition of adalat. And the real definition of itaat of Allah is also the same. You know, that's the real definition of remembrance of Allah. Man ata' Allah, faqad zakar Allah. Wa in qallat salatuhu wa siyamuhu wa tilawatuhu. Anybody who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has remembered Allah, who is in the zikr and remembrance of Allah. Zikr means remembrance. Zakir means the person who remembers Allah always. Zikr means remembrance. Allah ki yaad. So man ata' Allah, faqad zakar Allah. Anybody who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has remembered Allah. Even though his prayers may be less, his fasting may be less, his tilawat of Quran may be less. Because he obeyed Allah. He didn't do any haram. وَمَنْ عَسَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ نَسِيَ اللَّهِ وَإِنْ كَثَرَتْ صَلَاتُهُ وَصِيَامُهُ وَتِلَاوَتُهُ. And someone who performs the ma'siyat and sin towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who has forgotten Allah, although he may be reading a lot of prayers and doing a lot of fastings and reciting a lot of Quran. It really doesn't matter. If you are doing a sin, even though you read the whole chapter of Quran daily, even you pile up a lot of prayers and do lots of fastings in your days, but it really doesn't matter, it doesn't count. Because the real remembrance is to abstain from the sins. That's the real remembrance. So basically, we find that in the time of Rasulullah, a woman came and said, Ya Rasulullah, I did a sin. Prophet said, if you did a sin, Allah, do the tawbah and Allah will forgive you. She said, Ya Rasulullah, what can I do when the hafadah, the angels who are writing the sins, have already known about my sin and already written my sin in the book of deeds? Prophet said, Allah will make the angels forget your sins and Allah will erase what is written in the book. يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ وَإِنَّهُ يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ. So basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases. We have a hadith that tells us that, if a person, this is again a rahmat and mercy of Allah, if a person performs the tawbah after doing a sin, يُنْسِي مَلَكَيْهِ مَا كَتَبَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ ذُنُوبِ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the two angels forget all those things that he has,
that they have written about this person. Angels are masoom. Let's be very clear about it. And they never, any masoom never forgets anything. Because nisyan is not compatible with ismat and infallibility. So forgetfulness is not the attribute of infallibles. Forgetfulness is the attribute of fallible people like us. We are the ones who tend to forget things. Infallibles never forget anything. So there is no meaning for angels forgetting anything that they have ever encountered in their life.
Just imagine for a moment that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is mahzoom. And 24/7, 365, he is remembering every single thing that has happened in the entire history of the universe. It's unforgettable for him.
Because he is masoom. Everything that happened in every era of human life, all the incidents of Karbala are in front of his eyes 24/7, 365. Impossible to forget because he's masoom. You know, our father passes away, our mother passes away, our brother passes away. And the first day we cry the whole day. You know, after 1 week we cry, or maybe sometimes in the day. Isn't that right? After 1 month passes away, we cry upon them once in a while, maybe. Or maybe we stop crying. Because
this is the procedure, regular procedure of nisyan and forgetfulness. And this helps us to basically to cope with the musibat and the trouble that we have faced. But the infallibles are not like this. Anything that has happened, they will always remember it without forgetting anything from it.
That's the nature of ismat and infallibility. Not everybody can tolerate ismat. This is a very high level. It requires a very high level of zafiyat and very high level of taharat of the qalb to stand and tolerate everything. لَأَنْدُبَنَّكَ صَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً. Then Imam Mahdi alayhi salam said, addressing to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, I will cry upon you every day, day and night. And if my tears dry up, I will shed blood from my eyes on you. My eyes will shed blood on you. So he can never forget. So what I was saying, brothers and sisters, is that it is a very big mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that despite the fact that the angels are masoom and they can never forget anything by nature, but hadith says, yunsi malakayhi. Well, nobody is superior to Allah. Nobody can outstrength Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has the highest, His strength is the supreme strength. So Allah makes the angels, despite the fact that they are masoom, Allah makes the angels forget the sins of a person if he performs them. So Prophet said to this lady that Allah will make the angels forget. And Allah will erase from the book the deeds which are written in the book of deeds. Everything is written here, this book of deeds which is being 24/7 compiled by the two angels assigned on us are constantly writing everything. And on every day of our human life, Allah is sending two different angels. Every day of life, two different angels are arriving. There's no shortage of angels with Allah. Maybe one of the reasons is that Allah doesn't want this mu'min to feel embarrassed. Allah doesn't want to make this mu'min embarrassed and make this mu'min a bad looking person in front of the new two angels, because the previous two angels already saw my sins. And if they continue to be assigned on me, they won't hold respect for me. Isn't that right? After they saw all those sins being committed day in and day out and not paying to no warnings and of Allah and not paying attention to those ayat and signs of Allah, I'm just a careless person. So Allah's mercy is that every day two different angels are sent, and those two different angels, they don't know what kind of person I am. So they, I don't seem to be a bad person in front of them. So the lady said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, but what can I do now that the earth has already witnessed my sin? Earth is an assigned witness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we do any action, the earth is witnessing our actions, and earth is going to bear witness, and it's a shahid on behalf of Allah and a witness on behalf of Allah, that it shall bear witness in favor of us or against us on the Day of Judgment for all that we have done. So that's what our Urufa say, you know, when they talk about sins. If you have opportunity in your life to go and see an Arif Mujtahid, go and spend, even though you can spend 1 minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes of your life in front of an Arif person, these are the most precious moments of your life. And even the simplest of the sentences that may sound simplest to you are the most deepest of the sentences that you would hear. You know, one of the teachers of Irfan was saying that, well, how can we do a sin? Because we find everything around us is constantly watching us and witnessing us with their eyes wide open. We don't see the things around us as witness, but they are watching the things and they are seeing the things that this, all these things around us, this wall and this ceiling and this earth and all those things who are around us, all those insects and birds and animals and plantations and everything that exists around you is an assigned agent on behalf of Allah and registering our a'mal. Even the insects, even the animals, they are all shahid and witness over our a'mal. If a human has performed a sin in front of an animal or a bird or a fish or an insect, Allah is going to resurrect that animal on the Day of Judgment to bear witness over what he did. And that animal will be resurrected and will bear witness against us on the Day of Judgment. So nothing is being missed out. Everything is registered. But uncountable number of witnesses are constantly watching us with their eyes wide open. We don't see them, but those who have marifat are looking at them. And that's why they have this kind of taqwa in their khalawat, in their loneliness. And that's what matters. So Prophet said to the lady that, when she said to Rasulullah that, you know, what can I do? The earth has been witnessing my sins. The Prophet said that Allah yawma tubaddalu al-ardu ghayra al-ard. Allah is going to convert, is going to change the earth. The earth will be changed into a different than the earth. Other than the earth. This earth, we know Allah will convert it into a flat land on the Day of Judgment. This earth will be just like a flat land without any mountain or hill or ditch or valley or trees. This will be just a simple flat surface. So no zalim and bad doing, evil doing person can think of hiding behind any valley, inside any valley or behind any tree or behind any mountain or in any cave or anywhere, because it's a flat surface. Allah is our creator and He knows His creation best. So He has made the best of the arrangements how to deal with His creatures. So we find, so Prophet said, you know, Allah is going to convert the earth. And so she doesn't have to worry about the earth has witnessed, because when earth will be converted, things will be different. When Allah can, of course, when Allah can make the angels forget, Allah can also make the earth forget. It's easy for Allah. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, but the sky has also witnessed my sin. Prophet said, يَوْمَ نَفْرِ السَّمَاءَ كَالْطَيِّسْ سِجِلِّ الْكُتُوبِ. Allah has said in the Holy Quran, in the light of this verse, we understand Allah is going to wrap up the sky. The sky will be wrapped up. So again, she has nothing to worry about. She said, well, but what can I do that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I myself feel haya and sharm
an embarrassment in front of Allah because I was the one who violated His law. And Prophet said, Al-Haya'u min Allah.
See, nothing can be done about it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, He knows everything.
But this haya itself is something deeply appreciated in Islam, and this haya is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Haya is from Allah. Haya is one of those most appreciated attributes of an Islam, which is considered to be equal in its value to the entire religion.
Somebody who doesn't have haya is considered to be having no religion.
La deena liman la haya alahu.
You find very few attributes in Islamic morality which are equal in their value to the entire religion.
So somebody who doesn't have haya has no religion. If you become bighairat, if you leave your haya, you know, if you quit the ghairat and haya, then every sin is okay.
Nothing is bad. Even Salman Rushdie is insulting the Holy Prophet, it's okay. If we don't have ghairat, it's okay. If we don't have haya, it's okay. Some people don't have ghairat. They are bighairat people. Some people are bihaya. And that's the reason why they think it's okay.
They're ready to butter up the taghuts,
and they're ready to be silent and idle over the crimes of the taghut, but they're not ready to support the mujtahid who is giving the hukum. Because they are bighairat themselves.
If you become bighairat,
then everything is okay.
So it's all about haya. It's a
values versus valuelessness. Values versus valuelessness. So basically, it's all about the haya, how much haya we have.
So now we find a person was, you know, it is narrated in the narration. I'm going to end my speech very soon. A person was, there was a faqir person who was really poor. But the beauty of tawakkul is that it's a sign of a mu'min that the sakha and jood and generosity of a mu'min doesn't depend on his richness. You know, whether we have money or we don't have money, in all the cases we are ready to spend and give for the sake of Allah, because we have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, despite the fact they were living themselves living a very, very poor life, but they never stopped giving. Siyan al-Arika, what Farastat says in his qasida, in his famous qasida for Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he said, Siyan al-Arika in asiru wa in adin. It's equal for the Ahlul Bayt, whether they have or they don't. In both the cases, they are ready to give. That's the shan of a mu'min. That it doesn't really matter how much money we have when it comes to giving others.
Even if you have $1, you are going to give from that $1. That's your taklif.
Taklif is shar'i. So we find this poor man, he earned 1 dirham throughout his, you know, his labor, all those service that he performed for a whole day. He earned 1 dirham and he bought some food and he was returning to his house at the end of the day, and he encountered a Sayyida woman.
A woman who belonged to the family of the Holy Prophet. Very poor lady. Yet he had nothing.
This faqir guy, he himself was a faqir. He just earned 1 dirham. 1 dirham is nothing in those days. It's just like, you know, it's nothing.
But he thought, at least I have one. She has nothing. So let me give this 1 dirham to her.
It takes a lot of ithar and sacrifice. You know, you need it. It's not the matter that you don't need that much that money for your own family. You need it.
But sometimes ithar is something which is higher than jood and sahabat. Ithar, that means giving preference to others. Giving preference to the needs of others over your own needs.
This is what we learn from the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. They had ithar in their lives. يُثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. That's what Islam has taken us to, that high levels of ithar. This guy gave away that 1 dirham, that small amount of food to this poor Sayyida lady who had nothing. But now he felt, after giving, he thought, well, of course he had to go to his home, what can he offer to his own family?
He started to walk towards his house, and it is narrated that in the way, so whenever you rely on Allah after doing your duty, you will get the result.
Remember this point.
So we find why we don't get the results is because either we don't rely on Allah, or second of all, we haven't performed our duty.
One of the two reasons.
So he, in his way back towards his house, he encountered an unknown person and he delivered him a bag of money with 500 dinars in that money, in that bag, and a letter. And he left away. And he found it, and then he opened up the letter, and the narration says, he opened up the letter and he found that you had such and such family member living in Egypt, far away relative who just passed away, and since you are the only inheritor and waris in the whole family for that person who is deceased, so you are inheriting 100,000 dinars from such and such businessmen in Makkah, because that much money belonged to that person who passed away. And in the night time when he slept, he saw in his dream that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. Muhammad came in his dream, and it was said to him that because you give preference to my children over your children, we made you the richest person of the town. It's a matter of our trust and reliance, how much we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we get above the material causes which are surrounding us. And stop relying on these causes. Despite the fact that we have to go after the causes to achieve the results, but we still are not supposed to rely.
Prophet has already said in his hadith that four people, أَنَا الشَّفِيعُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Four people, I am Shafi'a, will do intercession and shafa'at and favor for them on the Day of Judgment.
وَلَوْ أَتَوْنِي بِذُنُوبِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ.
Even though they come to me with all the sins of all the people combined. Let's suppose somebody has done sins equal to all the human beings.
This one person has performed the sins of all the people combined. But Prophet has given us a blank check for forgiveness.
If you perform, if you fall in the category of one of these four, then you have a blank check from Rasulullah, then all your sins will be forgiven. The first,
Mu'inu Ahl Bayti.
Someone who supports my Ahlul Bayt. Supporting Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam means supporting the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. وَإِنْ لَا يَقْبَ اللَّهُ إِيمَانَ عَبْدٍ إِلَّا بِوَلَايَةِ عَلِيِّمْ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ وَإِنَّ وَلَايَتَهُ لَا تُقْبَلْ إِلَّا بِالْبَرَاءَةِ مِنْ أَعْدَائِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the iman of a person except through the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen and the concept of his governance is not accepted without disassociating ourselves and condemning the enemies of Ahlul Bayt and doing the bara'at and tabarri from the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. Because the tabarra and disassociating ourselves from the enemies of Allah and the Quran and enemies of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt is the prerequisite for the mu'alat and belief in walayat of Ahlul Bayt. Because La ilaha comes first and illallah comes later. If you are not ready to do the bara'at and disassociate yourselves from the taghuts and enemies, then you fail to understand even the word La ilaha.
How could you understand the word illallah, which comes later?
Because La ilaha comes first. The level and rutbah of bara'at is ahead of the level and rutbah of mu'alat and walayat, which comes later. That's the secret. So we find Prophet has said that four people are going to do the shafa'at and intercession and favor on the Day of Judgment, even though they come with the sins of all the people combined. One is the person who supports my Ahlul Bayt, who helps my Ahlul Bayt.
والمعين أهل بيتي والقاضي لهم حوائجهم عندما افتروا إليه. And somebody who fulfills the حاجات, حوائج and needs of Ahlul Bayt when they stand in need, when they are in the situation of time of need, in other words, an istirar. In the time of their need, are we ready to fulfill? What can we do for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam? What are the services that he is expecting from us as believers? Because Imam is not expecting anything from the enemies to do. You don't expect nothing from your enemies. And Imam himself has nothing to change because he is already perfect. He has no deficiency and no knocks. So nothing has to change from his side and nothing can be expected from the enemies either. So what change is being expected is from those who believe in Imam alayhi salatu wassalam. That's the real change where you know basically you can expect the real change from those who believe in you. So we find and وَالْمُحِبُّ لَهُمْ بِقَلْبِهِ وَلِسَانِهِ. Someone who loves the Ahlul Bayt from his qalb, from his heart, and through his tongue. That means practically we are supporting the Ahlul Bayt with our tongue as well. And وَالْدَافِعُ عَنْهُمْ بِيَدِهِ. Someone who is ready to defend the Ahlul Bayt and the walayat of Ahlul Bayt through his hand. That means practically. Practically we are ready to defend the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam. So if we have these four qualities, then we are supported. We have a blank check from Rasulullah. All the sins will be forgiven on the Day of Judgment. And some of the people, it's just a matter of how much tawakkul we have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to be above the material causes. When Imam Husayn alayhi salam once asked his son Ali Akbar about death. And Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam replied that, are we not on haq? And he said, that means in other words, sure, certainly we are on haq. He said, in other words, that, إِذَنْ لَا نُبَالِي بِالْمَوْتِ. Then we don't care about death. What we should be focusing on, brothers and sisters, is that are we on haq or not? Everybody is going to die. But as long as we are on the path of haq, and we have recognized the haq, and we are following the path of haq, then it's really not a matter to worry about when are we going to die and how are we going to die. This is something which is related to the natija and the domain of result of our actions, which is beyond our reach. Let's keep it beyond. Don't strive to have access to things which are already beyond our reach. So Imam alayhi salam, when he heard that statement, he prayed for Ali Akbar. Dua of a father in the favor of the son is accepted. Dua of the son in the favor of the father is accepted. So we find that Ali Akbar is not an ordinary person for whom when Imam alayhi salam was sending Ali Akbar, He said, that's narrated by Sayyidina Tawus, that Allahumma shhad ala ha'ula ilqawm. Oh my Lord, be a witness on these people. فَقَدْ بَرَزَ إِلَيْهِمْ غُلَامٌ أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ خَلْقًا وَخُلْقًا وَمَنْتِقًا بِرَسُولِهِ. Oh my Lord, be a witness that now that young man is going against them who is the most resembling person to your Prophet in terms of his appearance, in terms of his, that means in his creation, in terms of his akhlaq and morality, and in terms of his statement and speech. وَمَنْتِقًا وَكُنَّا إِذَا اشْتَقْنَا إِلَىٰ زِيَارَةِ نَبِيِّكَ نَظَرْنَا إِلَيْهِ. He was the most resembling person towards your messenger, and whenever we wished to, we were eager to do the ziyarat of your Prophet, we used to look at him. So Ali Akbar is the most beloved person, and my teacher was saying that when Imam Husayn al-Islam is saying that Ali Akbar is the most resembling person, this is the evidence that Ali Akbar was masoom. Because the most resembling person can never do a sin. So we find that Ali Akbar alayhi salam is the shabih and mushabih of Rasulullah, and the amama of the Prophet was put over the head of Ali Akbar, and Ali Akbar was sent towards the Ashqiya. And when Imam Hussein sent Ali Akbar, he was sending Ali Akbar, he also cursed Umar ibn Sa'd by these words, that Allahumma that qata Allahu rahimaka kama qata'ta rahimi, may Allah cut your lineage the way you cut my lineage. So we find that after a while, and it was being told, some of the scholars, kuch ulama ne ye naqal kiya, azadaron, kuch ulama ne ye naqal kiya, ke Ali Akbar ko ye hidayat thi, ke jab tak ho sake, mur mur ke meri taraf dekhte rehna. Chunanche, jab thodi der guzri, to ek martaba Ali Akbar ne ahat mehsoos ki, ab jo palat ke dekha, to zaeef baap, peeche peeche aa raha hai. Arey baba, abhi to maula ne rukhsat kiya tha na, abhi thodi hi to der guzri hai ke maula se rukhsat hoke chale hain. Kaash ali akbar ka bhi koi akbar jaisa beta hota to phir samajhte ke baap ke dil pe kya guzarti hai jab bete ko rukhsat kiya jata hai. Yahan tak ke riwayat mein ye fikra milta hai ke thodi der ke baad ali akbar ne jab baap ke kaan mein kuch kehna shuru kiya, fa baka bukaan aliyan, imam ne buland awaaz se girya shuru kiya. Jab shehzadi zainab ne pucha to farmaya ke dastoor ye hai ke baap bete ko wasiyat karta hai, bhale aaj bete ne baap ko wasiyat ki. Yani aaj beta baap ko wasiyat kar raha hai, kis na jaane mere maula ke dil pe kya guzri hogi. Thodi der jihad kiya, jihad karne ke baad wapas palte hain, baba ke paas aaye, pani ki pyaas ki shiddat hai, pani ka mutalba kar rahe hain. Riwayat mein ye fikra hai, maula ne apni zuban Ali Akbar ke dahan mein di, are baba aapki zuban to meri zuban se zyada khushk hai. Ayatullah Sheikh Jafar Shustari ne naqal kiya ke meri maula ki zuban kyunki muh mein jab insaan pyaasa hota hai to zuban ko phirata hai, lihaza khoon aa raha tha, khoon aa raha tha itni martaba khushk zuban ko phiraya gaya tha ke khoon aane laga. Maula ki zuban to zyada khushk hai. Ali Akbar ko dilasa diya, an qareeb Rasoolullah jaame Kausar se sehrab karenge. Ali Akbar rawana hue, jab rawana hue jihad kiya, zameen e Karbala pe gire. Ek martaba riwayat mein fikra hai, ye wahid sasti hai jinke jasad pe shehzadi Zainab ne apne aap ko maula se pehle pahunchaya. Shayad woh kyunki janti thi ke Imam Hussain ko, shayad kyunki janti thi mere maula ko kitni mohabbat hai Ali Akbar se, shehzadi ne apne aap ko maula se pehle pahunchaya Ali Akbar ke paas. Riwayat mein ye fikra naqal kiya gaya, fa wada'a khaddahu ala khaddihi, Imam Hussain ne apne gaal ko Ali Akbar ke gaal pe rakha, aur rakhne ke baad farmaya ala dunya ba'daka lafa, are duniya pe khaak ho tere baad duniya ke upar khaak ho. Riwayat mein ye fikra hai, maula se aake pani manga tha na, aur maula ne tilasa diya tha ke an qareeb Rasoolullah jaame Kausar se sehrab karenge. Ali Akbar kya kehte hain apne baba se ke ba haaz jaddi Rasoolullah, ke ye mere nana Rasoolullah tashreef laaye hain, yaqrun yaqrun ke salam, aapko salam keh rahe hain aur keh rahe ajil al qudum alaina, are jald hamare paas aa jaiye. Maula ko tasalli,
الا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون انا لله وانا اليه راجعون. الهي بحق الزهراء وابيها وبعلها وبنيها السر المستودع فيها وعلى حفرجم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما حفرجم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما تمام علماء ربانیین تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سر پر برقرار رکھ تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما تمام مومنین کی جان و مار و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما بائلہ ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائے ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاہ محمد و آل علم امین یا حسین Y'all will say, 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 y'all will say.